If you have your Bibles again this morning, I ask you to turn to the book of Philemon. This morning, we've looked at the Apostle Paul, we've looked at the Philemon, and this morning we're going to look at the slave Onesimus. Onesimus had an ambition. He wanted to be free. He was a slave, most likely born into a family of slaves. And all that he ever wanted in his entire life was to be free. I take it was probably around midnight that he decided that he was going to run away. He knew where his master had kept the funds. He knew that he had been a slave for his master Philemon for X many of years. So he took what he felt should be wages for his own keeping. And apparently that he was successful. He was able to escape. And apparently, after plotting and planting, he was able to find himself in Rome. You have to understand that a slave in Onesimus' day had no rights. They weren't even considered a legal person under law. They were just a piece of furniture, if you want to say, among those who owned him. Matter of fact, it is recorded by one Roman, a Roman historian, that a wealthy lady who ordered the crucifixion of a slave, and the only reason she could give was for her own good pleasure. This is what Onesimus grew up as. This is what he faced. And if he could just escape and get to Rome, he would be free, because in Rome, he could melt into the population, and he could finally, in his mind, be free, yes, free at last. However, the money ran out. And we're not for sure what took place, but Onesimus ended up in jail. Apparently he was successful, but he did end up in jail. He was arrested. And we're just going to say that he was arrested for a couple months. Maybe he stole some food or just did something that he found himself in jail. However, God was in it. And guess who he discovered was in jail with him? The Apostle Paul. Yeah, because Paul was already in jail. Because Paul introduced himself, as we saw last week, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And there he was by the Paul. Now, he didn't know him as the Apostle Paul. Matter of fact, as Paul would talk to Onesimus, apparently he just talked about being here in jail, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That was so foreign to the thinking of Onesimus. Here's a Roman citizen in jail and considers himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And then all at once, Onesimus recognized who Paul was. This was the man that his boss, Philemon, talked about. Because Paul had never been to Colossae, never been to Laodicea, where Philemon lived. But Philemon apparently talked about the Apostle Paul and talked about how of a great man he was. And Onesimus was thinking, here I am, I'm in jail, and here is somebody that knows Philemon. I'm in big trouble. Well, the Apostle Paul, you and I would know that he started talking to Onesimus, began to speak to him. And Paul made an approach to Onesimus. As Onesimus would tell him, all I ever wanted to do was just be free. I just wanted to get away. I wanted to make my own decisions. I want to be able to do what I want to do. And the Apostle Paul just listened. And as Paul listened to Onesimus, he began to share with him that no man was free, even including ourselves, that you and I are under bondage of sin. And Onesimus began to listen to what Paul had to say. And Paul would say, I am assuming to Onesimus, the only way you ever truly be free is when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then you will be free. And Onesimus listened and listened and listened. And he became to the realization that Paul was right. He was a slave to his own lust. He was a slave to the pride of life. He was a slave to his thought life. He knew the only way that he would ever be genuinely set free was to acknowledge that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. And somewhere along the line, that's exactly what happened. Onesimus was set free from jail because he had a limited term there. Because Paul in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begotten in my bonds. As he writes to Philemon, he says, Philemon, I am writing to you about a slave that once lived with you, that you once owned, that you still own, and I want you to know I have begotten him as a son. And what Paul meant by that, and Philemon would have understood, he would have understood that Onesimus came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. You see, Onesimus, for the first time in his life, had been freed from the penalty of sin, which is death, spiritual death. He had been freed from the power of sin, which is sanctification for you and I who know Christ this morning. And then he was free. There's a day coming he was going to be free from the very presence of sin. And you and I, one day, will be free from the very presence of sin. When you and I enter into the presence of Jesus Christ, either by the rapture or by death, you and I will be taken out of this sin-sick world and we'll never see it again. You see, Onesimus experienced forgiveness. And as I was studying the book of Philemon, I begin to realize, and as I realized that Philemon was forgiven, and that's really the core of this little epistle of 25 verses, that God did not take and make a parable. He didn't take and write down in picture form, but he gave us a book on forgiveness. If you want to know the theme of the book of Philemon, that truly is the theme. And I will give you a simple outline here on the forgiveness. In verses 4 through 7, you have the attitude of forgiveness. Verses 8 through 18, you have the action of forgiveness. And in verses 19 through 21a, you have the aim of forgiveness. And then I hope to end with the awesomeness of forgiveness in verse 21b. What do we mean by forgiveness? I came across this, and I'm not for sure who, I can't give credit, but I just came across it. To forgive is to turn the key, to open the cell door, and let the prisoner walk free. Forgiveness is to write in large letters across the debt, nothing owed. Forgiveness is to be pound the gavel in a courtroom and declared not liable. Forgiveness is to shoot an arrow so high, so far, it can never be found. To forgive is to bundle up all the garbage, trash, and dispose of it, leaving the house clean and fresh. To forgive is to loose the mooring of a ship and release it to open sea. To forgive is to grant a full pardon to the condemned criminal. To forgive is to relax a stranglehold in a wrestling match. To forgive is to sandblast a wall of confetti, leaving it like looking new. To forgive is to smash a clay pot into a thousand pieces so it can never be put back together. Forgiveness is so important to God and to you and I that I believe he wrote this whole book. So when we appeal or when we look at this book, now, we know that Paul is going to intercede on the behalf of Onesimus to Philemon. And he approaches it on this area of forgiveness. And he approaches it on the area, first of all, verses 4 through 7, the attitude of forgiveness. It would be extremely sad this morning to find people here who can't forgive one another. To find people who have people whom they have had a grudge against for years and never forgiven. So we want to look at the attitude. As Paul begins to write to Philemon, he first of all deals with an attitude, because that's more important than anything else in the area of forgiveness. You'll notice the attitude, it comes out in several ways here. In relation to Christ, I thank my God, making a mention of thee always in my prayers, Paul says, hearing of thy faith and love which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding Philemon, though he was in debt one day, as a slave owner, he too found what? Forgiveness, because he was a slave. He just wants to remind him. You'll notice he goes on to say in verse 5, and he picks it up again in verse 7, to all the saints. Paul's saying to Philemon, I want you to forgive Onesimus. As you have, Christ has forgiven you, and as you have dealt with all the saints that you've come in contact with. Would that be true of you? Or is there certain people that shouldn't be forgiven? Because that's kind of the drift of this book. Maybe there are certain people that don't deserve to be forgiven. And Philemon, I'm just calling your attention to an attitude that you've ministered to all the saints. But is Philemon going to be, or I'm sorry, is Onesimus going to be different? Here you are, you're the owner. Here's a man who is indebted to you. And now he's come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Are you willing to forgive him? Are you willing to bring him into the church, which we discovered was in his house or his son's house? Are you willing to allow him the total fellowship with all the what? Saints. Or is he going to be a little different? I don't know whether you folks heard the story of Paul Zimmer in Yap. But in Yap, apparently, I forget whether there's 6 or 7 levels of people in Yap. There is, I guess, number 7, they're the highest ranking group. They have like a caste system there. And if you're on the lowest level, we'll just call level 1, that's on the lowest level, then you're just nothing more than trash. Matter of fact, if you're from the outer islands, most likely you're on level 1, and so when you come to the main island, people aren't even allowed to talk to you. And you are never to talk to them unless they approach you first. But now what do you do when someone like that gets saved? What do you do when someone who embraces Jesus Christ, their sins are forgiven, and now they're there in the church, the lowest class of individual with the highest class individual? What do you do? What do you say? See, Philemon and Paul was facing it. We face it even in today. And I appreciate what Paul Zimmer did. He sat down with the church and taught them for weeks that in Christ, everybody is equal. And across the board, if this downcast, this number 1 individual who is the outcast of all the outcasts, if he is mature enough, he walks enough, he studies enough, he could be a deacon in this church. That's the attitude that Paul is asking of Philemon. Philemon, is this your attitude? You've ministered to the saints. And I want you to know that Onesimus is a what? A saint. That's a New Testament word. That's actually a description of you and I. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but you and I are saints. Now, I know we have this image of a saint with a halo. Well, that doesn't exist. But the scripture does talk about it. Read any of Paul's epistle to the saints at this church, to the saints here, to the saints. Why? The word saint just means a person who's been set apart. Philemon, I want to remind you that Onesimus has been set apart by the grace of God. And I want you to receive him. I want you to forgive him. Is there anyone this morning you can't forgive? You see, that's the attitude. And we have to be careful that we don't make distinguish in different people and different cultures. Now, it is interesting to notice the different prejudices around the world. For instance, we're working in a foreign country which has told us they're not interested in another certain group of people as teachers. When I first went to New Zealand, I worked in a little town called Turangi, and the Europeans came to me and says, "Now I want you to know you can't trust a certain group." And when I got with that group, they told me you couldn't trust another certain group. And when I got with that group, they said, "You can't trust anybody." Look, I said to them, and I brought this up in the church we were at, and I said, "If anyone from any of these three groups attend this church, they come on equal basis because of the grace of God has worked in their life just as much as yours and I's. There is no difference." That's the attitude that Paul is addressing here in verses 4 through 7. Because he says, what communion of faith? Joint partnership. The word communion means to be joined in. And he says, an effectual knowledge or acknowledging. The word acknowledging there is a word, Philemon, you know from experience, not just a theory, but you know from experience. My wife loves, I think she does, she loves wild animals. And she's taken to me many places. We went up to into Canada, and she says, "Now, Bill, you're going to see this and this and this and this." And she's taken me, or when I say taken, we've gone, and "You're going to see this and this and this." Now, you can ask her, but the only thing we've ever seen where she's wanted to go is chipmunks. That's the wildest thing we've seen. So I said, "You know, I'm going to take you to Yellowstone National Park. And if you don't see some wildlife there, I'll take you to any place you want to go in the entire world." So we got to Yellowstone National Park about 3 weeks ago, started in, and whoops, nothing was around. She says, "I'm dusting off the brochures." And about a half an hour later, we begin to see some wild animals. And I said, "Put the dust back on." You know, before we got to Yellowstone, we studied up. We were told there would be bears and there'd be this and this and this. But it was not until we got there that we truly what? Experienced it. And Paul says to Philemon in this word acknowledging, he's saying, "You know from experience how various people have come to the church in your house whose background is so different, and yet we're all saints, we're all on the same level, and I want you to receive Onesimus the same way." Is that your attitude this morning? If I were to name the church this morning, some of you would recognize it. It broke my heart when I heard this story. It's a true story because I talked to the individual directly who did it. Young graduate from a Bible college, became an associate, we believe, associate or a youth pastor of this church. If I named it, you would probably recognize it, some of you. And he apparently was really gifted in reaching down and out people in the inner city of which this church was at. And you know what the pastor told him? "You know, we probably shouldn't be reaching these people because they don't give much to the church." Yeah. He left. He resigned. He said, "If that's your attitude," and he's helping the church in that inner city, reaching prostitutes, reaching gang members. Oh, they don't have a lot of money, but boy, they have the trophies of grace. And that's what Paul is saying to Philemon. Philemon, I want you to make sure you have the same attitude towards Onesimus as you have to all the other people that have come to know you as their Savior. Then notice the second thing. He talks about their action. Look at verses, that would be 8 through 18. Where Paul says in verses 8 and 9, he would say, "Philemon, I want to remind you something. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoy thee that which is convenient," or which is proper, the word convenient, which means proper, "yet for love's sake, I would rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, the age, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." And what he's doing here is, Philemon, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember something that's very proper here, because he uses the word convenient. That's the idea. And what is proper? Philemon, I just want you to stop and think for a minute. And it's not stated here, but I could see Paul doing this later. Let's take the commandment. Thou shalt not what? Murder. What else does that commandment mean? As long as I don't murder somebody, I'm okay? No, Jesus said, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is a what? You know what Paul was doing? Philemon, I want to remind you, this slave, Onesimus, yes, he did wrong, but Philemon, you're just as guilty as he is. Philemon, you're just as wrong as he has. Yeah. You see, if Philemon wasn't willing to forgive Onesimus, Jesus said, if you're not willing to forgive those who trespass against you, how can I forgive you when you trespass against me? Matthew. That's what Paul was doing in verses 8 and 9, reminding. He says, yeah, I'd like to command you, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to plead with you. I'd rather just beseech you, being such a one as the Paul, the age now, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Notice he looked at the reception, verses 10 through 14. I beseech thee for my son. No, I'm not beseeching you for this man who's done you wrong. I'm beseeching you for my son. Apparently, Onesimus was repentative. He repented for my son, whom I begotten in my bonds. While I'm here in this jail, I want you to know, Onesimus came to know the Lord. Ah, look at verses 11. He talks about his transformation, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now what? Profitable to thee and to me. There was a time, yes, after Onesimus left, thinking he was going to be free and never realized it until he received Christ. I just want you to know, Philemon, he's a transformed man. He now is profitable. Isn't that wonderful? And oh, sinner, this morning, I want you to know, I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've come out of. I don't care what your culture may be. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are profitable. And don't let anyone ever take that away from you. You are a person now that can be used by Jesus Christ to great do what he wants done. That was Onesimus. Look at verse 12. Whom I have sent again thou, therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus. I want you to receive him as if you were to receive me. Oh, what a picture of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Father, forgive them, for they know what? Well, what they do. Receive him as you were receiving me. Verses 13 and 14, he was serving, whom I have retained with me, that in my stead he might minister unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without your permission or without your mind, I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing. In other words, what Paul was saying, Onesimus, Philemon, I'm sending Onesimus back to you. I want you to receive him, but I want you to know he's been serving me. When Onesimus got out of jail, the thing that he did was started to serve the Apostle Paul while he was in jail. For in those days, if you didn't have friends or relatives that bring you food, you just starved. I wouldn't be surprised that Paul shared whatever he received from others, that he received it and shared it with Onesimus. Now that Onesimus was out, according to Paul, he was serving Paul. How? By providing his need. But without, it says in verse 13, for whom I have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in my bonds or in my chains for the gospel, because of the gospel. Because now, for the first time, he is free. He knows what it is to be forgiven. And now he is serving me. Oh, Philemon, forgive him. He's a saint. He's a servant. Then look at the restoration in verses 15 through 16 under the action. Remember, reception, restoration, 15, 16. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him for how long? Yeah. And he's going to serve you, Philemon, because Onesimus is going to come back. And whatever decision you make, that's fine with him, because now you can't take his freedom away from him. And verse 16, not as a servant, Philemon. Don't receive him back. He may be your servant. He may be your slave for the rest of life, but above a servant. Receive him as a brother, beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and to the Lord. Oh, what a tremendous. Look at the aim now of forgiveness is verse 17 and 18. You have the attitude. You have the action. Now, what is the aim of all this? Verses 17 through 21, or 17 through 21a. You have the restitution, verse 17 and 18. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as my what? Self. In other words, Paul was saying to Philemon, if you will receive Onesimus as I've asked, you're receiving me. That's what he's saying in verse 17. Restoration. Look at, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as, if he hath wronged thee or owe thee aught, or if he did steal money, we're not for sure, but if he did, Philemon, put that to my what? Account. Wow. Here's a man in jail. Probably doesn't have $2 to rub together, but I want you to notice something, Philemon. You just put that to my account. Oh, what a picture of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Here we come, totally in debt, with all of our sin, with all of our baggage. And Jesus says to God the Father, put that to my what? Account. That's forgiveness. Just think of that. Everything you've ever done wrong, every sin you've ever committed, both in mind and in deed, Jesus says, Father, I don't want you to condemn. I want you to receive him and put it to my account, and I'll pay for it. And praise God, Jesus paid for it, didn't he not? For it all of our sin, all of our actions, Jesus took it out on the cross and paid for it. Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus the same way. Is there someone that you haven't forgiven? Just stop and think for a second. Not only are we in debt to Christ, I'm in debt to my parents. They taught me. Now, maybe my poor dad and mom didn't think so for the first 18 years, but it finally kind of worked out. I'm in debt to them. I'm in debt to Berean Baptist Church. You have supported me now for over 20 years. I'm in debt to so many people. And you're saying, I can't forgive just one person? That's what we're talking about. I'm in debt to my wife. She reminds me every time we go shopping. No, I'm only kidding. You see, we're in debt to so many people, to so many situations, and we're willing to forgive, but not that person. Never. I think we got a problem. And that's what Paul's saying here. If you count me therefore a partner, if you count me as a saint, now he's in jail. I'm a prisoner of Christ. He doesn't approach him on an apostleship. He doesn't approach him that I am the big chief. No, I'm a prisoner in jail, and Philemon, I want you to receive Onesimus as if it was me. Matter of fact, Onesimus, you're probably in debt to me. I'm sorry, Philemon, you're probably in debt to me. I wouldn't be surprised if Philemon came to know Christ through the Apostle Paul. Or at least he was taught by the Apostle Paul. He was encouraged by the Apostle Paul. Yeah, if he wronged thee, owe thee, put it to my account. Look at verses 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand, and I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thy own self besides. Paul saying, Philemon, you owe me. In a sense, somewhere, somehow, Paul ministered to Philemon. And he was saying to Philemon, put Onesimus' account to me. I'll take his debt, but I want you to remind you also that you're in debt to me. You see, folks, we're in debt to everything and everybody. And we can't find forgiveness. We're not able to forgive. We still look upon individuals saying, oh, not them. Look at verse 21. Verse 20. Yea, brother, let me have the joy in thee and the Lord and refresh my heart. Paul says, if you're willing to forgive Onesimus and receive him as a saint, you have refreshed me. You've renewed me. Remember, we said last Sunday night that the only person in the Bible that's ever talked about a refresher was Philemon. Twice. Because you'll find it again in verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in the love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed. Oh, Philemon, refresh my heart. But then he goes on, because I almost missed it, as probably everyone else. But I want you to notice, ending in verse 21, he says, having confidence in thy obedience, he says, I do think you'll do the right thing, Philemon. But then I want you to see the awesomeness of forgiveness. Because look at verse 21, the ending of it. I've read this 100 times maybe, and it just hit me this past week. I've wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do what? More. Does that grab you? Philemon, I'm asking you to forgive Onesimus, but his heart was saying, I really believe you're going to do more. I want to say this. In Romans chapter 5, 5 times you'll see the little phrase, much more. Well, turn with me just there quickly. Romans chapter 5, if I can find it. I just want you to see this. Because this is awesome. Okay, go to Romans 5, verse 20. I just glanced down and that's where I see it for the first time. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, what? Grace did much what? More. Have you ever thought about the much more of Christ? Today in our Sunday school lesson, I thought the teacher was going to take my thunder because he started listing some of the much more of Christ. I used to teach a lesson or a class, and I didn't do it all in one class, 33 things that happen to you as a person the moment you get saved. Have you ever stopped to think what really takes place when Jesus saved you? I've just written out 20 of them. And I didn't teach all 33 in one lesson. That would be too long. Listen to the list. In Christ, we have more than forgiveness because we have reconciliation. In Christ, we have more than forgiveness because we're redeemed. Condemnation is removed. Fourth, under grace instead of judgment. All sin judged by the death of Christ. Dead to the old life, alive in Christ. Free from the law, regenerated, adopted, placed into the family as adult sons. Oh, I could preach on that one all day. Accepted to God, justified, delivered and from the power of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light. Given access to God within the much more care of God. Romans chapter 5, verses that we've just read. A new position. I am now a child of God, receptants of eternal life, members of the family and the household of God, receptants of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, complete in him and possessing of every spiritual blessing provided in eternity past. Beloved, Paul was saying to Philemon, I know you'll probably forgive him, but do much more. Because God has done much more than just forgive our sins. Amen? That's what we are. That's the reason we're saints. That's the reason I look forward to the day I can enter into the presence of God Almighty. All that he's done. And the list goes on. You see, we're fugitives. We're outcasts. We've stolen from our master's property, fled his house, one time unprofitable to him, but God's grace has shown from Philemon to Onesimus, the Father welcomes us back. And then at last we begin to be profitable. Is there someone that you haven't welcomed back? Is there someone that you can't forgive? It'll eat you up if you don't. And that's what the book of Philemon is. And isn't it a beautiful picture? Just as Paul did for Onesimus, so Christ does to the Father for you and I. He intercedes for us. It's a book of forgiveness. Is there anyone this morning you haven't forgiven? Is there someone that you're having a problem with? And you say, I hope, or have you been able to say, I'm in debt. God forgave me. Help me to forgive others. That's Onesimus. What a wonderful story. As far as we know, Onesimus went back. And as far as we know, he served the Apostle Paul until he either died or Paul died, because he became profitable. A slave, a useless individual in the minds of the world, became a saint before God and became a great worker for him. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And we think of the millions of people around the world that we've ministered to on the mission field. From a world's perspective, useless, no good, weak, and yet you've made hundreds and thousands of Onesimus. And I would pray this morning if for someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would see that Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive. And if someone here is battling over forgiving someone for something they've done, may you work in their lives to the point they truly forgive. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Preaching is when God's man delivers the message that God has put on his heart. The invitation is when we as believers respond to that message in the way that God instructs us to respond. We encourage you, we're going to sing a song together in a moment. If you feel like coming to pray, the altar's here. If you need someone to pray with you, if you want to be saved, you hear a clear gospel presentation. I'm sure in a service this large there are some who have never trusted Christ. The message is clear. Salvation is free because it was purchased by the blood of Christ. We encourage you today to do what God is leading you to do. Let's stand, please, together. We're going to sing, Brother Bob.